Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Millennialism. I'm Katie, and I'm joined by my podcasting partner, Adam.
Hello.
How's your week been, Adam?
It's been all right. It's been a bit stressful, to be honest. I've had a lot of stuff to deal with, you know, last week of work, and just got an apartment today. So there's it's really, really exciting, but it's been a lot of stuff to deal with. You know, anytime you move, it's always annoying, and there's always all these things you gotta take care of, and forms to sign, and contracts to deal with. So yeah, it's gonna be nice now to just relax for the next few days. I say relax now, but I know that it's not going to be relaxing at all, actually. It's just going to be probably the same level of stress, because now I have to renovate this apartment. So, but that's the exciting part. Now all the boring shit's out of the way, so I can start with the fun stuff instead.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
It was really good. I had my vacation time in California, which was lovely. We went on lots of amazing hikes and got to enjoy the mountains a bit and the desert. And yeah, it was just really beautiful and really fun. But I'm back in New York now. It is significantly colder. There is a plethora of snow on the ground, which is crazy. I was like in desertscape and now I'm in winter wonderland. So that was a bit of a surprise when I got back, but it's nice to be home. And I'm excited for Christmas, even though it's a little daunting because it's literally days away. And I feel like there's so much to do before the Christmas period. So
I know,
a little nerve wracking.
I saw some pictures from New York. It looks, as you said, like a fairy tale. It's so beautiful.
The thing with snow in New York, though, is like it's beautiful for a day when everyone is at home, and then everyone drives on it and it just turns into like black slush covered in pee, and it's just like pretty gross. So I feel like we've got the tail end of the grossness, not the nice part.
I got to experience like one full day of really picturesque, beautiful snow earlier this year in like January or February, and I was just walking by myself home after like having seen some movie before pandemic hit, and I was just walking through Manhattan like in the with the snow falling from the sky. And it was really beautiful.
It's definitely very magical when it snows here. It's pretty insane, though, that it's snowing now. Like, as you said, most of the time we get snow in like February, sometimes March. So the fact that it did such a big dumping this early in the year, or late in the year, but early in the winter months, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So excited for a kind of white Christmas. Hopefully it sticks around until then.
By the way, I just have to mention this. Like, for the first time, I think in probably a year, I listened to maybe like 5 minutes of this podcast. I listened to last week's episode for like 5 minutes. And I have to say, that's why I'm trying to come into this episode with a bit more energy, because I just sound like I'm sleeping like half the time. I feel sorry for you and for anyone who listens. Like, I don't know.
You just have such a soothing voice, Adam. You're just so, like, just calming. I love it. It's like listening to a meditation app.
Maybe I should start working for Calm or Headspace or something instead.
No, but legitimately, you should submit your voice to them. Maybe they'll get you to do, like, one of the episodes, whatever they're called, like the meditation series that they have.
Maybe.
Meditation with Adam Gavin.
I'm going to start an ASMR YouTube channel.
Just whispering into the mic. That sounds genius. Speaking of Christmas, what are your plans over in Sweden? Do you guys have any like weird Christmas traditions, like Midsummer-esque things?
Yes, we do.
Of course you do. Of course you
do. We have a lot, actually, but they're all kind of spread out throughout December. Like we celebrate like Lucia on December 13th. And that's really, that's very like midsummer vibes. If you saw like a, you know, Lucia choir, you would definitely get some freaky vibes.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Yeah.
Swedish Lucia choir.
Yeah.
It says there's buns too.
Yeah, we do have buns. But now I'm just kind of looking forward to a couple of days. It's kind of like Thanksgiving here, Christmas. It's just a few days of you just stuffing your face with alcohol and food. So on the, we actually celebrate on the 24th, not the 25th, like a lot of other countries. So the 24th is the big day. That's when you get all the gifts. That's when the family comes together. And usually, like, there are some festivities on the 25th or, and, you know, in the days between Christmas and New Year's too, but the 24th is the big day. So yeah, we just have a lot of like traditional food. And as I said, we just drink and eat basically. So that's what I have to look forward to for the next few days.
Okay, on that note, I just need to interject because I Googled a Lucia choir in Sweden, and this is going to sound awful, but they're low-key dressed up as the KKK.
I knew you were gonna say that. I
They
know.
even have little pointy white hats on.
I know. I know. I mean, if they were, most of them are kids though, but if they were adults, they would look very terrifying.
Oh my gosh, that is so bad.
I know. I know. I know. They should really do something about that. Like, I mean, it's tradition and everything, but I think most like these days, whenever I see them, I just think like KKK.
Yeah, they definitely give off Mujer KKK white supremacy vibes in those
Yeah.
little white pointy hats and the white robes. The girls, not so much. They have the little red ribbon on and the weird candle halo hat thing. But interesting. You guys are just full of weird traditions.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, they're not weird. They're but from the outside, I can really see that it looks peculiar.
No, I think it's really cool. I think
Yeah.
I
But
love
it's
hearing
also
about other cultures' traditions.
but
It's
it's
very
also like we have
interesting.
I feel like we're holding on to such few there are so few traditions that we actually hold on to. I mean, otherwise it's just like we're just importing traditions from like, you know, the US, I feel like, or England. But we're sticking to some, but the Lucia is always a hot topic every year. You know, for debate, people debate whether they look like the KKK and the
Oh,
fact
okay, so
that
this is a Swedish debate too.
they're
This
yeah,
isn't just me.
and the fact that, you know, they're usually in a church, as opposed to like a mosque or a temple or just on the street. So it's always full of debate and a lot of, you know, opinions flying around.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, glad
How
that you've
about
got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
Drinking and eating food is always an exciting prospect, so sounds
Yeah,
like a good
bulking
time.
up. Yeah, bulking up, bulk season. How
Oh
about
my
you?
gosh, I
Do you,
feel
what
that.
are you gonna do for Christmas?
We're gonna go down to Delaware again to be with Toph's family, which will be fun, but I'm feeling a little sad for my family in the UK because I don't know if you saw, but they just entered into like an even more severe phase of lockdown. So Christmas is essentially canceled for them, which is a shame because my Nana lost my grandpa last year and, you know, she spending Christmas alone is no fun. So I'm going to make sure to give all my family back home a call on Christmas Day to make sure they know I'm thinking about them. But yeah,
That's
should be
nice.
fun.
Yeah.
Lots of it seems as though Toph's family takes Christmas quite seriously. So I have been panicking over gift giving for the past 2 weeks because I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just a panic everyone has at this time of year of like, oh my God, what am I going to get everyone? But no, I'm excited. It'll be really fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of Christmas, that leads us nicely into the topic that I would love to talk to you about today, and that is gratitude. There's a few reasons why I would love to talk about this. Firstly, on my way back from California, I was watching one of my favorite cartoon shows. I'm not a big cartoon person at all, but I'm not sure if you're familiar with the show Big Mouth on Netflix.
I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen it myself.
Well, I highly recommend that you do. It is season, they have 3 seasons at this point. It's all about a group of young kids, I would say between the ages of like 11 and 13, who are experiencing the joys of puberty, which is, you know, fun, like filled with all sorts of exciting changes that are terrifying and hilarious in the same time. Don't feel hilarious in the moment, but looking back on them, you're like, oh my God, that was ridiculously bizarre and just a weird thing that everyone has to go through.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love about the show is that they tackle a lot of topics that were definitely not talked about when I was a teenager. Everything from like girls getting their periods for the first time and like, you know, boys and like locker rooms. They talk about all like the crude stuff, but they also talk a lot about mental health and the things that you kind of experience as a teenager, the way your hormones are affecting your emotions. And one of the main characters, her name is Jessie. She experiences a lot of depression and anxiety, which I think happens to a lot of girls as they go through all the hormonal changes that come with puberty. And because of this, she ends up going to a child therapist, and the child therapist asks her to do an exercise about gratitude and talk about all the things she's grateful for, which if anyone listening has ever experienced depression or anxiety, they will know that it's pretty hard when you're feeling really down to think about things that you're grateful for. But it's also an amazing way to combat those feelings. And in the show, they give characters to each of the different emotions. So there's a cat that represents depression. There's a mosquito that represents anxiety, which I think is such a great metaphor because mosquitoes give me anxiety. Just like even just their noise is fucking anxiety inducing. And then the character that they have for gratitude is a toad, which they call the Gratitoad, which I think is hilarious and amazing. But the Gratitoad, you know, really helps Jessie kind of come to realize the things that she's grateful for, both the big and the small. And for me, when I think about Christmas, I think of Christmas as kind of a time when a lot of people around the world in many different cultures kind of reflect on the year that's happened, and, you know, try to take a more positive take on things, talk about what they're grateful for, you know, especially when you're around your family and maybe some of the people you don't get to see much throughout the year. And then, you know, after Christmas, you go into New Year's Eve period, which is more when you're like thinking about what your goals for the next year are, you make your resolutions, blah, blah, blah. So knowing that we're approaching Christmas, I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about the things that we're grateful for, despite the fact that this year has been a fucking shit show and everything feels like it's falling apart. I know that even though this year has been really hard, there's definitely things that I am thankful for. So I would love to hear a little bit about some of the things that you are thankful for.
Well, it's a very like timely topic in my life as well, because now in the past few days I've spent like wrapping Christmas gifts, and for a few of them because that's another tradition here. If you hand someone a gift on Christmas, it has to go with a rhyme. Like you need to write a rhyme on the gift.
Wow,
itself.
That is so much pressure.
Yeah. But it's not really, I mean, I don't think many people do it, and I didn't do it specifically to that gift either. I'm just thinking of one in particular. I can't say now because this episode is going to come out on tomorrow, Wednesday, and Christmas here on Thursday. So I don't want them to listen to this episode before they get the gift. So I don't want to spoil what it is. But basically, I wrote like a gratitude letter for this gift, because it was I wrote a thank you note or a gratitude note for two good friends of mine, Adrian and his girlfriend, Stina. And they're the ones who've put up with me for the past few months living at their house while waiting to get this apartment. And for them, I just wrote like a longer, first a note and then a rhyme after, like a fun rhyme. Gratitude. I think it's good to bring it up now, especially as you said, towards the end of this shitty fucking year. Worst year of my life, by far, I think. It's been hard at times to feel grateful for anything, because it just feels like nothing is going my way. and all that, but there are moments throughout the year, even in this darkness, that I think I've felt gratitude for, you know, various things. And I think, like, a reason why many people perhaps don't think about gratitude that much is because it's like, I'm not sure if a lot of people expect gratitude to be this, like, or they're like, it's tied up to more like complex feelings, perhaps, like, as a result of having to write thank you letters as a child, or to say thank you for things that we didn't want or whatever. I think it's makes it perhaps harder to establish when gratitude should be felt or expressed, and also makes us feel like awkward rather than grateful, perhaps. So that's why I think it's important to, like, practice gratitude on more of a daily or, like, weekly basis. Why was I talking about my two friends? It's because, like, that's the thing. When I look back at this year, like, I'm really grateful for them, because they actually, like, really helped me out by letting me stay at their house. And it made me realize every day that, you know, no matter what's going on, at least I know that I have really great friends. And I'm thankful for getting the opportunity to speak with you every week. I know, like, both of us have pretty busy schedules, and I think a reason why I wanted you to be, like, included in this show is because I wanted to stay in touch with you, because I always enjoyed our conversations before. And I know that if we don't have a scheduled time to, like, talk every week, it's so tough to even if it's just like a phone, like a 10-15 minute phone call, it's still, like, so hard to fit in, especially because we're in, like, different time zones and everything. So I'm very grateful for that. And another obvious thing is that I'm healthy. A lot of people have, you know, been sick this year. And I think this year has really made us reflect on our own health and, like, how we take care of ourselves. And so I'm grateful for that, and that I'm still young. So I have, you know, hopefully a long ways to go. And it's kind of a wake up call to, I mean, I've always been pretty healthy and always enjoyed staying active, but this really makes me, like, realize the importance of continuing to do that.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And I think, to that note, well, there was a couple things that you said that I would love to talk a little bit more about. The everything that you were saying about, like, practicing gratitude, I think is super relevant. Like, gratitude is something that you can only become better at by doing more of it. And I think it's kind of a weird thing to do, like, to sit down with yourself and maybe your journal and say, like, what am I thankful for? Because sometimes it does feel really, like, obvious, like, yeah, I'm thankful for my friends and I'm thankful for my family. But even if you innately know those things that you're thankful for, there is a power to, like, saying it out loud or writing it down. And there's been a couple of times throughout this year where I've actually, you know, taken the time to do the exercise of, like, 30 things that you're thankful for. Because it's really easy to come up with your, like, top five. But when you have to think about, like, 30 things, that's a lot. And it's like, you know, you really have to, like, dig deep and think very, like, critically about the things that you want to express gratitude for. And to the note about, like, health, I think there, kind of what you were saying about the struggle of gratitude, is that sometimes things that are really awful that affect your life in really negative ways also affect your life in really positive ways. And it can be really weird to say things like, I'm grateful for a global pandemic. But at least for me, like, even though there's a lot of things that it has brought about because that I'm not grateful for, like the fact that I haven't ever gotten to meet my colleagues in person, or the fact that I've been stuck at home. Everyone's been stuck at home for many, many months. It's also brought about a lot of amazing things in my life. Like, I don't think that my boyfriend and I would be in the relationship that we're in now if a pandemic hadn't have basically forced us to live together after, like, a week of dating. I never would have gotten to know his parents the way that I've gotten to know them, seeing as we were roommates for 3 months. I never would have gotten to live in Pennsylvania and gotten to, like, explore the countryside out there. And I definitely wouldn't have been able to have as much freedom as I would that I've gotten through work from home. So it definitely feels bizarre to say, you know, I'm thankful for the pandemic, but I kind of am in some ways. Is that bad?
No, it's just very selfish.
Oh.
No, but it's what exactly what we're talking about, because obviously if you know, we had a button that we could push to make this year will not happen or the pandemic not happen. I mean, I would push it immediately because I would have loved to see how this year would have been if, you know, if it was like, you know, quote unquote normal. But it's, I mean, gratitude is what we're talking about, and being able to feel gratitude in the midst of this crisis, I think it's healthy as well. Because obviously your life has been affected negatively in a lot of ways because of the due to the pandemic, but you're focusing on seeing the good things.
Yeah. And I think to that note, like anytime something terrible in your life happens, like, you know, this is pretty a pretty profound thing that happened, seeing as it's affected every single person across the globe to some degree or another. But, you know, people go through personal tragedies all the time. And I think a really important part of the healing process, be it, you know, from a breakup or losing a family member or, you know, losing your job, is that you have to try and see the bright side of things. You know, maybe you never would have gotten a chance to go traveling if you hadn't have lost your job at a certain point, or maybe you would have never met the person that you're with now if you were still stuck in a different relationship. And it can be really hard in the moment when you're experiencing all like the grief and sadness that comes with a really hard time. But then I think it's a really important part of the process to be able to take a step back and be like, you know what, like there are things that I can try and be grateful for, even if they don't feel like things that maybe I want to be grateful for in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think this year I've gotten way better at it this year, not only because of the pandemic, but also like at the beginning of the year, I lost a friend of mine. He passed away, and that really wakes you up. And since then, and now during the pandemic, when a lot of people have been sick and or, you know, a longer period of time passes before you see your friends or whatever, I think like expressing what like your affection for them whenever you see them, or really showing just thankfulness, like appreciation for something they've done, or, you know, if they've taken the time to do something for you, I think I've gotten better at that. And like just being more vocal about, because even though like if a friend does something for me, like they know that I appreciate it, but it doesn't hurt to say like thank you, or really like, hey, I really appreciate that you did that. It meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so important in, you know, like romantic relationships, friendships, family relationships. Like, I think when you become really comfortable around someone, it can become easy to think like, oh, they know that I care about them, or they know mm-hmm. that I appreciate them. Like, why do I really need to like say it out loud? But it is so important to make people feel appreciated and like you're grateful for their presence in your life, because I don't know, it's just nice to hear that someone says, when someone says something like, you mean a lot to me, I'm really grateful that I have you as a friend. Yeah. Like, what better Christmas gift than that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you always feel so nice when, and so good, like when someone says that to you. So obviously it's good to just spread the love.
100%. And I think, being able to, it also takes like a certain degree of vulnerability to be able to say thank you for things, or, you know, admit that someone has had a really big impact on your life and that you're grateful for them. And I think this time of year, especially when it's cold in most places, obviously mm-hmm. if you're in Australia, it's not going to be cold. But when the whole family is like gathered around the Christmas tree or around the fire, it's like a really nice moment to kind of just look at everyone and be like, oh, I hate all of you sometimes, but I'm so thankful for you anyway.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What has there been a moment this year when you've really struggled with feeling like gratitude for anything?
I mean, I definitely think that, you know, midway through the year, when the pandemic had already been going on for a while and everything was feeling a little bit mundane, and, you know, friends maybe weren't as quick to reach out anymore, and everything was just feeling very blah. I think it became very easy to just be like, everything fucking sucks and there's nothing left to live for, and what's the fucking point? Like, the world is ending. Mm-hmm. And actually, interestingly, I think at that moment in time, I was talking to my therapist, and, you know, I was expressing these feelings of like just general dissatisfaction with the world. And, you know, she kind of helped recenter me around the things that are most important in the world. And that's, you know, that I'm healthy and that I have a loving boyfriend and he has a great family and my family is all healthy. And, you know, there's a lot of bad things that could have happened this year to me individually that haven't happened. So I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have you, and that even though I thought that our time together in New York was going to be much longer, I am so grateful for every second that we did spend together, because I made a great friend out of that time and you were a massive support for me. And now I'm super grateful to have this podcast and all these people that I get to blabber on at every week.
Oh, that's really nice.
You practice your gratitude when it feels really hard?
So there's been a few times this year when I, you know, took out the old journal and wrote down some stuff. I used to do it more like 2 years ago or a year and a half, 2 years ago. But I've done it a few times this year, not as much because now I have the podcast. So usually I bring out the journal because I want to, you know, just write off whatever's on my mind. But now I have this podcast with you, my weekly therapy sessions. So I don't have to do that as much. But a few times I've done that, but this year has been really hard to actually to just write down what I'm grateful for. It's been very hard to feel grateful at times because a lot of it feels like much of the year has just not gone my way. But I think looking back at it now, when, you know, it's the year has settled a bit, makes it easier to see like things that I'm grateful for. But as I said, I think it's just about like having been more mindful about expressing gratitude to people. Mm-hmm. And I think also like when you say it out loud, like, you know, I'm thankful for this, or you tell a friend, hey, I really appreciate what you did. And they, you know, usually reciprocate by saying like, oh, no big deal. I obviously, like, you're my best friend, or, you know, something like that. I think hearing all those things really makes you value what, like, everything you have as well. Like expressing, just saying out loud whatever you're grateful for really makes you reflect on what you have. And I think it makes you more content just in everyday life, because you're constantly reminded of good things in your life and everything that you do have and not everything that you don't have, which is very easy to focus on at times.
Yeah, it totally makes me think of that really cliche quote that's like, don't be sad because it happened. Don't be sad because it's over. Be happy because it happened.
Yeah.
And it's very much so comes back to that, you know, metaphor of like, do you view the glass half empty or the glass half full? And I think this, you know, actually connects quite well to what we were talking about, you know, knowing yourself, being one with yourself. It takes a certain amount of like power to be able to look at a shitty situation and say like, I'm going to choose to view the positive in this and not just focus on the negative. Mm-hmm. I think as humans, we kind of have a default setting towards viewing the negative. When something shitty happens, you know, we're very quick to kind of sit and dwell on it and ruminate about the whole thing. And, you know, it takes a while for us to move on from bad things that happen. Rightly so. I mean, when horrible things happen, it's all part of the process of, you know, moving forward, is being able to sit and grieve and, you know, really feel the loss. Mm-hmm. But I think that being able to, you know, look at a situation and say, I'm going to choose to look at this situation as a glass half full situation. I can acknowledge that half the glass is empty, but I also need to acknowledge that there is still water in there, and I want to be thankful for what is left, even if there is something that's now gone. I think it's a very powerful practice to do.
Can we fit any more cliche imagery into this podcast?
I don't know if I have any voice for you. You no, can say that your ship is sinking or that it's still half floating.
But a couple of times, a few moments in life when everything is just going so shit that the only thing you can do is laugh at the situation.
Yeah.
But the issue then is like, if you from the outside and like some, it looks like you're losing your fucking mind.
That's definitely true.
I remember once it was like 2 years ago, and I was in Philly, and I was driving my car, my piece of shit car, and there was a light that was always kind of blinking on it. So I went to the mechanic, who I kind of vaguely knew. That's some nice New York backdrop sound.
Yeah, here. Sorry.
That's good. Anyway, so I went to this mechanic, and I was there 5 hours because this mechanic was like in the middle of nowhere. There was no way I could just leave my car and come back later. The Uber ride would have been very expensive, and I didn't have any money. So I just hung out there. Like, I read a book, an entire book in this, like, while I waited. Anyway, I got the car back, and I started driving, and I paid whatever, $400 or something, and I started driving. I swear to God, 10 minutes after I left, the fucking light comes back on again, and I'm on the highway. And
oh,
I just...
No.
And it had already been a shitty few months, and a shitty, like fall. And I just screamed, like, at the top of my lung, just in the car, like, what the fuck? And then I just started laughing, and it was like, I was laughing, and then it was like, it almost went over to crying. But I just kept laughing for a little bit, like, this is not happening. And I had to turn back around and go back to the mechanic.
I feel like everyone has had that moment of just like, this is so terrible that I'm just going to laugh about it, because otherwise I might just jump off a bridge. And also, if you can't laugh about it in the moment, sometimes it's good to, like, laugh about it in retrospect. Like, they have this saying in New York that you're not a true New Yorker until you've cried in the street. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true. Everybody that has lived here for any amount of time has had some moment where they're having, like, a fucking mental breakdown on the side of the road.
How long did it take for you to have your first? Because I assume you've had many.
I am 90% sure that on my first day of my first internship in New York City, I was crying walking back to the train station because I was so miserable and I hated it so much. So I think day numero uno was my first time crying in New York, but same. I've had many a since. And it makes me think back to when, you know, I went through a breakup last year, and I would, like, come home on the train. I was like, I would be crossing the Williamsburg Bridge on the JMZ, and I would just be sitting there, like, watching the skyline go by through the window, just, like, bawling my eyes out, listening to, like, shitty breakup songs. And I must have looked fucking ridiculous. Like, people must have been looking at me like, this girl is, like, losing her shit. I hope there weren't any, like, common commuters who would see me every day doing it, because that's fucking embarrassing. But now when I look back on it, I'm like, that's pretty funny. Like, I just had absolutely no shame. I was like, I'm just gonna let loose on this train. These poor passengers don't know what they're in for, but it's fine.
I just pictured it in my head, set to Kelly Clarkson's Because of You.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I'm sure that was on the playlist somewhere.
I can just see you on the train, like, going back from work. It's because of you, I stay too far from the sidewalk.
Oh my gosh, sing it, Adam. Give us the full rendition. You have to tag Kelly Clarkson in this.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a future as a cover artist.
I'm just going to do shitty breakup songs, and I'm going to do record all my videos on the JMC train headed over to...
Great. There's going to be so many New Yorkers who identify with that. But anyway, I would love to end this episode by giving our listeners some ways to practice gratitude.
Hang on, just one. I just looked up Because of You, and one of the last lines is, because of you, I'm ashamed of my life because it's empty. Jesus Christ, that's a painful song.
It definitely holds a lot of emotion. I don't know what Kelly Clarkson was going through at the time, but girl was feeling some things.
Yeah. Well, sorry, go on.
So now can I tell the listeners about how to
Yes,
practice
please.
gratitude?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so if you want to take a page out of Adam's book, you can keep a gratitude journal. People sometimes do this daily, sometimes weekly, maybe just whenever you're feeling like you need to, hit the refresh button on your gratitude meter, then you can pull your journal out and talk about all the things, all the people that you're feeling thankful for in the moment. Step number two is you can remember the bad. So, you can't have the good without the bad. And sometimes it's good to kind of sit there and think about the things that have been maybe a bit more troublesome throughout the year and why the things that you're thankful for contradict or counteract those bad things. Number three is asking yourself these three questions. Number one is, what have I received from blank? Number two is, what have I given to blank? And number three is, what troubles and difficulties have I caused? So, thinking about your friends, your family, your work associates, your partners, kind of just regrounding you and your relationship with them and what your dynamic is and what you're thankful about having them in your life. The next one is, what you've been practicing, Adam, which is sharing your gratitude with others. It says here that research has found that expressing gratitude can strengthen your relationships, which is not a surprise to me. So whenever, your friends do something nice for you or your partner, make sure that you give them a big thank you, hug, kiss, and tell them how thankful you are to have them in your life. The next one is use visual reminders. So it says here that two of the primary obstacles for being grateful are forgetfulness and a lack of awareness. So having things around the house that can help trigger thoughts of gratitude could be really helpful. Maybe it's like a smiley face magnet on your fridge, or I don't know, a poster that says like, remember to be thankful. Anything that just helps you think about what you're grateful for in your life. The next one is make a vow to practice gratitude. So, make yourself a promise that every Sunday you're going to sit down, light a candle, think about 10 things that you were grateful for that week. The next one is making sure that you think about the language that you're using. So, making sure that you are not just expressing gratitude through like gift giving or just saying thank you, making sure that you express your appreciation in different ways. The next one is going through the motions. So make sure that you're always smiling, saying thank you, writing letters of gratitude. Again, just finding different ways to show people you're grateful for them. And then the last one is find fun ways to do it and think outside your block, outside the box. Maybe you leave your partner little post-it notes around the house saying, I'm thankful for you, even when you don't do the laundry. Or I don't know, maybe you
That's like so.
so passive aggressive.
I love you, even though you.
Even though
Right.
you don't do any
Four
chores.
times. Yeah.
Exactly. Or you can just hop on over to one of the meditation apps. I'm sure Headspace has a meditation on gratitude or something along those lines. So lots of ways to help you think about how to be grateful.
And I'm very thankful that I got to spend this hour talking to you today. And I'm very thankful for everyone who listens. It's always fun to see where people listen. And hopefully next year we'll reach listeners in hopefully over 100 countries. We're at like 45 now. And
Woohoo!
I would be grateful if people subscribe too. A lot of people that listen do not. That would be very, very cool to see. But in this year, I mean, I guess we can talk about more about what we're grateful for throughout, or what we have been grateful for, listening wise next week when it's the last episode of the year. But it's always fun doing this. I mean, we don't have millions of followers or even thousands of followers, but I would do this even if no one listened because I just enjoy talking with you.
Hundred
And it's
percent.
Like that quote we saw a few weeks ago, like why do men start podcasts instead of going to therapy? And that's very true. I feel like this hour every week with you forces me to sit down and just things through and be more mindful about things and maybe practice more gratitude on a daily basis. So it's very true for me. I started this podcast instead of starting therapy. So there you have it.
This is definitely cheaper.
Yes,
I know we said that last week, but it definitely is. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, remember to subscribe and leave a comment or reach out to us if you want to. This has been another episode of Millennialism. Katie, I'll see you next week. And I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Definitely Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you get all the presents that you want and don't kill your family, even if they're annoying.
And be grateful for all the gifts that you do get, not the ones you don't get.
Even if it's coal.
So that's probably what I'm getting this year. Yeah, all right, Katie.
All right.
All right, Katie, talk soon.
Bye.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know. Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, kiss me once again, it's